are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the rafters. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Wednesday, November the 13th, 2 months from my birthday. Two shopping months for you. Was this a schedule loss tonight? We'll talk about that. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Hard to be upset after a nice Red Wings win like that. And after a couple of glasses of wine here tonight in downtown Detroit. But thanks for following. Thanks for spreading the word about the show. Today we're going to run down Tuesday's Detroit Pistons loss. The Stones drop another one. I'm going to give you my three takeaways from Tuesday night's game in Miami, including excuses and the seas of change. We're also going to hit the Google voicemail line a little bit tonight. We're also going to hit another one of the voicemails we got tomorrow. And if you've got other ones, please call us in, 810-666-1546. Leave a voicemail and your name and where you're calling from. And answer prompts about, are you upset? Rant. If you hate this Pistons season so far, are you ready for some change? Are you ready for a big revamp of this Pistons team when Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin get healthy? Is this going to be water under the bridge relatively soon? Let us know. Call us on the Google voicemail line. Also, give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore for that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. The Pistons lose 117-108 to the Miami Heat in a game that was worse than the final score indicated. Pistons fall to 4-8 on the season, fading even faster as the days fall off the 2019 calendar. Three straight losses for the Detroit Pistons, six losses in their last eight games. Now 1-2 this season on games in the second half of a back-to-back series, and 0-2 on back-to-backs where they are at a rest disadvantage. The one game that they did went on a back-to-back, Brooklyn was also on a back-to-back, so 0-2 on traditional back-to-back rest disadvantages. 10 back-to-back series is left coming up in the rest of the season, including one in 10 days at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Pistons now 3-3 in red-letter games. I describe red-letter games as games against the other teams kind of on the fringes of the Eastern Conference playoff race, which is okay. 3-3 in red-letter games is not so bad, but 1-5 against everyone else, including the bad teams of the NBA, that is the bigger issue. The Pistons now fall to 12th place in the Eastern Conference behind teams such as the Chicago Bulls, Atlanta Hawks, Cleveland Cavaliers. The Atlanta Hawks, by the way, Trae Young going hard at the haters on Twitter late night tonight on a 4-6 basketball team. I've got a little bit of a problem with that. But anyway, we'll talk about Trae Young next week as the Pistons get a rematch with him that Bruce Brown is apparently very excited for after he talked about the season home opener. But the Pistons not getting it done right now, but still, like I said, 12th place in the East, just one game out of the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. This East might take it to another level this year in the 7 and 8 spots, maybe under 500, maybe a couple under 500 teams will get in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year, although the professional Pacers are still establishing themselves as the 6th best of this horrible conference, so maybe they're on a tier ahead of the Pistons, which in turn would hurt my red-letter calculations and drop those wins and that loss from that calculation. I know this is all very important stuff. But on Monday, as we said, Blake Griffin and Derrick Rose sit this one out, although Tim Frazier plays on the back-to-back, fighting through the pain. Detroit, they didn't take off from Detroit Metro Airport until after 2 a.m. because of some weather difficulties. Here in the Detroit area, got to Miami after 5 o'clock, a sleep-deprived team. More on that later, but the Heat took advantage of it, jumped all over the Pistons early, extended it out to a 29-point lead in the second quarter. The Pistons fought valiantly, got it down to a 7-point deficit late. I liked the fight late. I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I know it's certainly meaningless in the big picture, but that's really the reason why I'm not ranting today, in addition to the fact that the Red Wings got a nice come-from-behind win, three straight for for your Detroit Red Wings. Maybe we'll do a little Lockdown Red Wings. Although, seriously, we are looking for a Lockdown Red Wings host. That is not a joke. So get in touch with me if you know someone who might be interested in talking Wings playoff hockey, or Wings playoff hockey, Wings hockey, which could turn into playoffs, Wings rebuild hockey going forward. With the Pistons, though, I don't think anybody played particularly well on Tuesday night. Well, maybe except my boy Thon, after he was maybe encouraged by my words of praise, not praise, but maybe going against the criticism that everyone has. Maybe that's the way of putting it. But Thon, I'm not going to rub it in anyone's nose. And he didn't play great. I'm not saying he was outstanding or anything. But, of course, nice to see him play pretty well and elevate his game a little bit. I won't make that one of my takeaways. I won't rub it in anyone's faces. But I did like his effort more than most of the Pistons out there. He had 12 points in 20 minutes. Blocking Jimmy Butler at the rim like he did was a nice thing to see, although they did call it a foul, which they shouldn't have. But anyway, even if it was a foul, you just love that. You love going up and sending them down like that. But and Andre Drummond, by the way, had one of those too. So good for those guys. 22 points all in the second half for Luke Kennard. I know that that's game-wise consistency because this is the first time in Luke's career that he had three straight 20-point games. But we all know, down 22 at halftime, a little bit garbage time, 0 for 7 in the first half. Not the kind of consistent scoring that we're looking for from him. Got to be half-to-half, too. I know that it's tough, Luke, if you're listening. We have high standards here in Detroit Pistons land. But 16-9 for Andre Drummond. Speaking of high standards, fouled out yet again. The counting numbers aren't so bad. The first time this season that he did not have a double-double. But really, the third straight dud because of fouls for him. Maybe in year 9 he'll learn about foul trouble, but another disappointing performance from the Detroit Pistons big man after such a nice start to the season. Christian Wood, and I think that's kind of a theme for Andre, is enough, like a really good, you know, 8 to 10 games. I don't know if that number specifically means anything, but I can remember Andre Drummond have a couple of nice weeks to start seasons recently and kind of falling off of a cliff after that, as the team has. Of course, we know the last couple years, the first 20 games or so, they've been really good, and obviously this will be a reverse of that, and we'll see if they're able to dig it out of the hole here going forward. Christian Wood with 16 points, a nice lift in the first quarter with the fresh legs after getting the night off on Monday night, courtesy of Dwayne Casey. Lots of defensive issues. You saw him if you're looking at it. Missed a couple of threes. We can just see the three-point regression coming there with him, and the defensive issues are obvious on the ball and off the ball as well, and really too small of a player to be, in my mind, a backup five, which is what this team needs on the court at times. Bruce Brown, a career high 11 assists and also 7 rebounds, but not a good game for him too. You know that I'm a big Bruce guy, and I'm not going to pretend that he was very good except for some nice driving kicks there in the third quarter that led to a pulse for the Pistons offense, hitting some shooters for some open threes, including Luke Kennard also looking for him in transition as well. Not finishing at the rim even close to as good as he needs to as we go forward if he's going to be an impact player of any sort in the NBA. Before Miami, Jimmy Butler, my nemesis in the NBA, 20 points and 13 assists. One of my nemesis. I should put him on the all-nemesis team. Maybe I'll come up with that next week. The five guys who are on my personal all-nemesis list. I'd put Jimmy Butler on there. But Kendrick Nunn with 20 points, 18 and 14 for Bam Adebayo, who is the same draft class as Luke Kennard and has kind of passed Luke Kennard in how folks view that draft class. Not to say that that book is closed by any means, but a player has really developed into an impact player for the Miami Heat, and that's what they do. That's the culture. We'll talk about that in a little bit. This Heat team was without Justice Winslow, Tyler Hero, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, who I'm freaking out, man. Deion Waiters had a bit of a weekend. But the first minutes on the season for Udonis Haslem in his 17th year, hat tip to the big fella, Udonis, still making it happen at, I believe, age 38. But for the Pistons going forward, 2 days off before Charlotte on Friday on the road, 3 games with Charlotte in the next 15 days. So this is the first meeting with them. Get familiar with those Charlotte Hornets coming up, a team that the Pistons went 0-4 against last season. No excuse for that. Would be nice to scratch and claw all 3 of those games in these next 15 days. I'm going to set the bar high for these Detroit Pistons against the bad Charlotte Hornets, who are overachieving so far this year. After that game Friday, the Pistons will have 4 days off after that at Chicago on Wednesday before a tough weekend. Friday at home against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. The disrespect of Trae Young. And then after that, at Milwaukee on Saturday night for, yes, yet again, the fourth back-to-back of the season. But Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. My three takeaways from Tuesday night's game: a sea of change feels like it's coming. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we will hit the Google voicemail line, but let's do some takeaways. My number one takeaway, and you know we always do this in descending or ascending order. I don't quite know how to figure that. Maybe by March, April, the time the season ends, I will have the right ascending or descending order of the more important takeaways. We do the more important takeaways at the end. So I think that means ascending. Starts at the bottom, goes up in importance, but it goes down in numbers. So now we've kind of screwed up the whole thing because it's ascending in importance, descending in numbers. Number three takeaway, number two takeaway. Anyway, the actual number one takeaway we're going to hold till tomorrow. We'll still have three for you today, and we'll get into Dwayne Casey a little bit there. But here's our actual three takeaways for this game in particular on Tuesday night, the loss to the Miami Heat. And the number one question, is this a schedule loss, will be our number three takeaway. I know I'm being very confusing right now, but the Pistons, as we know, played a league-high 12th game on Tuesday night. They played a back-to-back on Tuesday night after playing Monday night at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I'm going to say no. I don't think it is. And I know that in a traditional sense it is because you have to travel back-to-back. I know they had the travel difficulties as well. But where this team is at right now and the potential for this season in terms of being an above 500 team, a playoff team, the way things should be going, the way things are going, when you look at the injury report for the Miami Heat, when you talk about guys like Justice Winslow, Tyler Hero, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, guys that were unavailable for the Miami Heat, I think that this is not a schedule loss. This is a loss. We saw that the Pistons gave good effort in the second half. They had enough legs for that. We saw that they knocked down shots in the second half. Langston Galloway and Luke Kennard, after going scoreless and three-pointless in the first half, both those guys turned it around and ended up having a pretty decent stat line at the end of the game. Look, 4-7 teams coming into this game don't get to have schedule losses. You are not good enough to be able to take games off. If you, it's before November 15th. I mean, this is a game that was on the night of November 12th. The season started in late October. You don't get schedule losses less than a month into the season when your team is 4-7. You just don't. That's not what we're about here in Detroit. We don't have a going to work every day attitude. Our factory workers and automobile workers and all the day-to-day folks that go to work here, we don't get to have a schedule loss. And I know I'm being old cranky guy a little bit here, and the NBA is a whole different animal than anything you and I deal with day-to-day. But that's just not how it works. That's not the culture that Dwayne Casey's trying to create. That's not the culture that's going to separate the Detroit Pistons from every other team out there. And load management falls a little bit under this too. And again, a big picture discussion that we'll have on tomorrow's show. But no, I do not accept that. And maybe if you go out and win at home on Monday night against the team, by the way, coming in off of a travel day and a back-to-back, traveling after a back-to-back, after an overtime back-to-back on Sunday against one of the top teams in the Western Conference, if you win that game, then you can go out and lay an egg in South Beach the next day and then go out and have a great time. That would be less of a problem for me. But no, after a loss in a game that you should have won at home against the Minnesota Timberwolves, you do not get to have a quote-unquote schedule loss. It's a loss for me. Moving on to the next takeaway, and we'll call this number two. The takeaway comes more so from the Miami Heat, and it's the culture. I know that it's kind of a little bit of a cliche for them right now, but it's something that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and Stan Van Gundy before that, and Mickey Arison, the owner before that, it's what they've developed there. And I know that it's one of the model cultures of the NBA, but there's a lot to it. It's the being in shape players. It's going hard in the conditioning aspect of it. It's also the player development. Look at two-way guys that they've developed, G League guys over the years, Duncan Robinson from Michigan, Kendrick Nunn from Oakland University. Those guys combined for 31 points on Tuesday night against the Detroit Pistons. Chris Silva, that rookie from South Carolina that you'd never heard of, who was 6'8", banging down there with Andre Drummond and other guys down in the post, he's a two-way guy. That's what they do. a two-way guy is out there, an undrafted rookie from this season that Pat Riley found and put on the court and is playing real minutes for the Miami Heat. That's what they do. Pat Riley has always thrived on undrafted free agents, finding guys in minor leagues, turning his G League into a real operation. Guys you've never heard of, turned Roddy McGruder into something, did it with John Starks with the New York Knicks days back in the day. They've established something. They have an identity. They have things that they do on the margins to help out their team. Obviously, the free agency draw of South Beach, we know all about that, although they haven't really struck gold with that in many years. When is that going to happen for Detroit? When will there be some kind of an identity for this organization? We know what it should be. We know what it was back in the day. We know what carried this team to championships. When will that kind of organization be here where they establish some sort of culture and some sort of identity, and really in any sport across the four majors right now? Miami's in great shape. When did anyone ever say that about Detroit? This team is in great shape. When did anyone say anything about Detroit that's outside of the norm in a good way? I still think that the defensive side of things needs to be this team's identity. And I don't mean, you know, Markieff Morris and that something that looks like the Bad Boys, but today's version of that. I mean guys who basically just get after it defensively. And if it's someone who is not getting it done on the defensive side of the ball, if that's not that guy, maybe we let them walk. I know that we all love the Luke Kennard types. Svi Mykhailiuk looks like a guy who might be able to contribute at some point, but maybe we let those guys walk. Maybe we trade them for pieces that work more with Detroit basketball, two-way guys, find guys that can work both sides of the court and be something, have something in that regard one way or the other, or show potential on the other side that they're weaker in, and develop those. Bruce Brown, I know we've talked about it ad nauseum. We'll continue to talk about it. Get the offense going for him some way, somehow, in a passable way. Christian Wood, get the defense going for him. We talked about that at length on Tuesday's show. True 3-and-D guys on the wing. I don't see those right now for this team. Tony Snell's got the 3. Where's the D? Other studs who can handle themselves on both sides of the court. That's what we're looking for with Detroit basketball. But the number one takeaway, and this is kind of just my cursory glance of you guys. I'm all over Twitter on the games. I'm kind of quieter than a lot of you guys during the games, but I'm checking you guys out. I'm reading what they're saying. Kind of a sea of change that I'm witnessing. I know that kind of thing comes naturally with a 4-8 start, but I'm seeing Nick Henkel, who we had on the show during the summer, doing a video about talking about change. Eli's out there, Bashy, talking about the change that he wants to see at times this past week or so. I think that even the diehards are ready for a big change. Even the diehards who stick with this team through and through are ready for something to happen with this team. Obviously, the trade deadline presents some of those options. December 15th is an important day on the NBA calendar because free agents who had just signed this past offseason are able to be traded at that point. I'm seeing the Detroit Red Wings get 3 straight wins, and I know they're having a horrendous season and shouldn't maybe be quite put on the pedestal at this juncture right now, but it's just a franchise that appears to be doing the right thing so that someday maybe the pain pays off for some hurt. And the Pistons, this franchise has been going through a lot of pain. And I'm not saying tank it, complete rebuild, but just some tough decisions and some players that we all like, the Blake Griffins, the Andre Drummonds, the Reggie Jacksons of the world, the Luke Kennards of the world, to at least reboot this a little bit, maybe even reset this in a major way. I think I'm seeing it from you guys on Twitter. Maybe I'm all wrong. Maybe some of you guys want to see Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond lead this team in the next season and beyond. But just sensing it, and it's going to be a big theme of this show going forward here in the 2019-20 season, because that's where we're going, 2020. This is probably going to be a new team going forward, and we'll have to suss it out together about what the good moves are to be made, what kind of moves should be made, and what's this team should be valuing in terms of core values going forward. But coming up next, we're going to check out the Google voicemail line. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt, it's Brandon. I'm kind of down on the Pistons right now after a 4-7 start, just like you are. So I like to set little goals for the season, mini goals. So I have a mini goal for the team to close out the month of November. So to close out the month, we got Miami tonight. Probably going to lose that one. Then we got Charlotte 3 times to close out the month. Chicago once, Atlanta once. Those should all be wins. We have Milwaukee and Orlando. That'll be the rest of the month of November. That's 8 games. I think the Pistons should go 6-2 in these 8 games, maybe 7-3, but I really think we should beat Orlando. So my goal for the team is 6-2 record to close out the month. Love the show, and have a good one, man. Try not to be too depressed over all the snow.
Brandon, thanks so much, buddy, for the call. I really appreciate it. First of all, I am not depressed at all. I am actually doing very well. I am very happy. Yes, the snow is tough, and I know that we're all dealing with it. We're all going to get through it together. But, man, I made the decision to move home to Michigan a little over a year ago after being away for 9.5 years in various places. Really enjoyed being away for 9.5 years, but really enjoying being back as well. I'm thankful for you guys that listen to the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm thankful to the Detroit News for paying the bulk of my income, which I really appreciate. If you guys are listening, keep that up. Really thank you for that. Thankful for the Detroit Lions for providing content that I can write about in the Detroit News all day long. Thankful to the Associated Press for filling in the cracks a little bit there as well. The Locked On Podcast Network for filling in some more cracks. All you guys out there who this holiday season are going to be talking about, to your entrepreneur friends that are going to email me with ideas of sponsors that are going to jump on board for the Locked On Pistons podcast, so I don't have to worry about the winter slowdown I'm going to have coming up probably at the start of the year, so we can get some great sponsors on the show. But I'm also thankful for what Brandon just ran down, which is the schedule for the end of November. Now, we know coming into the year that this is the soft part of the schedule that the Pistons are dealing with right now. But like Brandon says, at Charlotte on Friday, at Chicago, Atlanta at home, at Milwaukee, Orlando at home, and then a home and home on the day before Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday back at home against the Charlotte Hornets. So that's, what, 7 games left? Brandon said 8 because he called before the Miami game. That's 7 games. Obviously, we're tossing out the at Milwaukee game on the second half of a back-to-back on Saturday night. Although, you know, law of averages says we get shit-rocked by Milwaukee so much last year that the hope of hopes is that you can maybe not lose all 4 of those this year and that somehow you can get one of those. And we know that Chris Middleton has an injury right now, so maybe that's a possibility for the Pistons. So I'm not even going to close the door completely on that one. So, you know, if this team can weather the storm a little bit as we talk about snow, 4-8 right now, like I said, 7, and Brandon astutely points out 7 games from the updated version of when he called, you know, 5-2, 6-1, if you want to be really optimistic. Obviously, it matters more about the Detroit Pistons and their locker room, how things are going. You probably want to be conservative and call it more of a 4-3, but there is a path to this team getting close to 500 by the time December 1st rolls around and the San Antonio Spurs visit Little Caesars Arena, not World Beaters by any means, on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock. So the path is there. Let's stay together. Let's not use the D depressed word. Let's use the D Detroit basketball word instead. Maybe this thing will turn around. Maybe we can keep all you guys, listeners, engaged through these next couple months in the winter. But like I said, the winds of change might be coming with this fan base. But before we get into those dark, dark discussions about what we can get for Blake Griffin, and we will have those discussions even if things are in a medium way over these next few weeks, or what the decision about Andre Drummond, what to offer him, maybe to let him walk, maybe to trade him as a possible expiring player this February. All of it's on the table, but another thing that's on the table is the Pistons rallying a little bit here, getting back to 500, maybe even getting over 500 sometime in the middle of December and getting into 2020 back into a pretty firm position, and believing that Dwayne Casey has the right long-term view, medium-term view for this team by doing some of the things that might be a little upsetting to us on a short-term way, you know, talking about some of the night-to-night decisions that have us scratching our head at times, as maybe we're a little bit too focused on the here and now, the microcosms, the things that are right in front of us. And maybe there's a bigger picture that we're not quite seeing. And obviously, got to get these guys healthy and got to get these guys ready to roll together and in a cohesive unit. And like my biggest thing is playing better defense than they are right now. But that's going to do it for our show. Appreciate Brandon for calling the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Listen to all the other Locked On podcasts of your favorite teams, also John Hollinger and Nate Duncan, the guys who do all the daily shows, the Locked On NBA guys, Rejecting the Screen. Try that one out as well. Really appreciate you guys listening to the Locked On Pistons podcast. It's going to be a good winter. It's going to be a good season. We're going to get through this together. Thanks for listening. This is your host, Matt Shook. We will talk to you guys tomorrow, looking ahead to a couple days off and talking ourselves through this as the Pistons struggles continue. Talk to you guys tomorrow.